Hi, this is Avi Lieberman, and you're listening to the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast.
Welcome to the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, bringing you tales, tips, discussions, and great interviews, led by two veterans of the poker home game scene. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Robbie and Bruce.
Welcome to episode 229 of the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you with us again. As we roll into February 2015, Bruce updates us on his home game record-keeping progress and what his stats for January reveal. We also introduce you to a new mixed game that you can use at your next dealer's choice game called Dramaha. It's a split pot game between five-card draw and Omaha. Our special guest on this episode is Avi Lieberman, a popular stand-up comedian and frequent fixture in the poker rooms and casinos in Southern California and Las Vegas. Should be a great show with a good dose of humor. So let's get started.
Hey, how you running? Beats, suckouts, triumphs, and tragedies from last week's home game play.
You know, Robbie, sometimes I feel like I'm a broken record. I kind of get on a tangent and I keep beating it to death and bringing it up and bringing it up. And of our regular listeners know that one of my New Year's resolutions was to start tracking my home game results. I did it for a number of years and then just kind of went by the wayside when the site that I used went down for a couple of months, and I never really got back into it. So, but here we are, the second month of the year, and I've got 1 month of good results under my belt, and it's just amazing what information you can glean from this program and the stats that come out.
That's really great, and you know, kudos to you. And hopefully, you'll make it through the entire 12 months, and it'll become a part of your regular routine to keep doing that tracking and note taking.
Yeah, obviously, the note taking with your Poker Notes Live is a great resource for that. But once you get those notes. Again, I sound like a broken record again, but this PokerDominator.com, it's a free program, and it is amazing how you can slice and dice things, you know. And a lot of people will say, okay, I'll track my results. Well, I'm up X amount of dollars for the month, or, you know, this kind of thing. And that sometimes doesn't mean much in the context of stuff, because if you're playing a low buy-in or a high buy-in or high-stakes cash game or low-stakes cash game or more tournaments than cash games, you know, a dollar figure doesn't mean much. Right. But the one figure that I've been paying close attention to is ROI, or return on investment. Mm-hmm. And here's just basically, and again, I've said this before, I'm fortunate enough here in Salt Lake, we've got a very active home game community that have games posted, you know, almost every day of the week. So in January, I attended a total of 15 home games.
Good heavens, wow. Okay, I guess it was really cold to go outside.
Yeah, it was dark, but it's actually nice weather in Daniel.
Okay.
My total time I spent at the home game table in January was 74 hours.
Wow.
In 20 minutes.
That's...
I look at that and go, wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of poker.
But the fun figure is the ROI. Uh-huh. I guess I really did have a good January. I know a couple of sessions I was a pretty good winner. Mm-hmm. But my ROI for January was 46. Let's just call it 47, rounded up. So
wow.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
Basically what that means is every dollar that I put in a buy-in, I got $1.47 back.
When when is the Bruce Briggs IPO going on? That's an amazing figure. Congrats.
So I was January is very good for me, but again, it's great to have that kind of information at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. So I encourage everybody to start tracking and take a look. We'll put another link back in notes for this episode for that Poker Dominator. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to hear from you about your results. If you get something really phenomenal, or if you want to share, or just if you've enjoyed the program or enjoying the program as much as me, you know, let us know at feedback@toppair.net. We'd love to hear from you.
And of course, we're also on Twitter at Top Pair, and on Facebook, you can just look for the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast. Just like Bruce said, let us know, comments, questions, ideas, suggestions, you know, always happy to hear from you, engage with you, and, you know, thanks very much to those of you who have. It's been really, really great hearing from you and interacting with you.
We love to hear from you. That you're part of the show and you're a big part of the show.
Yeah, so. It's home games. That's what it's all about. Well, unfortunately, I have not been doing as well. I don't keep exact track of the games. I don't play nearly as often as you do, Bruce. But I usually get, I'd say, at most 4 games in once a week. I'd say about 5 hours per session, something like that. But it usually ends up being 3 games on a monthly basis, something like that. I unfortunately have not been doing too well. I had a couple of amazing monster sessions, one at the end of the year last year in 2014, and then one to start off the year when I went to Prague. We talked about that in our last episode, 228. Since then, however, I believe variance is evening things out, I guess you could say. So, it's a slow bleed, I guess you can call it. I don't feel like I've been on my A game, I guess, possibly because I changed jobs recently and a lot of extra stuff is going on. A lot of, things to learn. But, unfortunately things have not been going as well as I'd be hoping on the poker front. But, as you say, I do keep track, at least basic track of it, and seeing the negative results certainly inspires me to, take a look after each session. What do I do, well? What do I not do well? And, at least try to go into each session with a complete fresh mind. Not that, I'm, got to rebound from a loss and win it back. More of, let's just be on my A game. And, if the cards fall the way they, ought to fall in my favor, then I'm ready to take advantage of it. So hopefully. Beyond the winning and losing, you've been playing a new game. Is that right?
We have in our mixed game, a friend of mine that was here for a couple of months when his mother was ill, and we got to be kind of home game or mixed game, fans, both of us. And so he texts me or emails me once in a while when he's run across one. And this one is called Dramaha.
Okay.
We kind of have a criteria, and I know our guest, Avi Lieberman, will talk about home games and some wild things that he's encountered and come up with, and that in our home games, we kind of draw the line at, okay, we prefer on a mixed game to have it a game that's played in a casino or a card room, just your standard draws, studs, and flop games and that. We will stretch it out a little bit if it's one that's played sometimes it's a mixed game, but the kind of the line we draw is that no progressive pots or no wild card games. Mm-hmm. So
okay,
and I'm a fan of split games. I don't know why. Maybe that's just my particular style. I figure if I've won half a pot, then my ego counts as a win, even though it's half a pot. So I figure if I'm playing a split game, then I've got twice as much chance to win. So
I will say that I've heard that a lot of people who like split games, it's because they're so used to getting junk cards. That once in a while, oh, hey, there's a game where I could win with junk cards with the low. That'd be great.
Right. They say, well, I'm not getting any cards. Well, then play the low. Well, I'm getting great cards. Well, then play the high.
Yep.
This game is actually both high. It's a combination of 5-card draw and a combination of Omaha high.
Mm-hmm.
And you played, as most games, pot limit or limit. Or even no limit, although that would be a daring thing because it's pretty much of an action game. But you might want to play at limit until you get a little more used to it so nobody gets, too badly hurt. But we started playing at limit for the first few sessions we did, and now we've kind of gone to pot limit. But it's really a pretty easy game in its concept of it. You get dealt 5 cards, similar like you would in Big O or anything, 5 cards face down. You look at those cards, and again, your objective is to make the best 5-card draw hand and the best Omaha high hand. And the rules are the same for Omaha high. Even though you've got 5 cards, you can only use 2, and you have to use 2 out of your hand. So you get dealt 5 cards, and this is where it gets kind of fun. If you're dealt like 3 of a kind or somehow dealt a flush.
Right, that's a pretty good 5-card draw hand.
Yeah, then the betting gets hot and heavy because you think, wow, in a 5-card draw hand, I've got a pretty good hand here. Mm-hmm. So there's a round of betting, and then a flop comes out, just like in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another round of betting there.
Right.
And then after that round of betting, you turn in your cards, just your 5 cards down. Okay, how many cards would you like to throw away? And how many cards would you like? Throw away 2, 3. Sometimes you'll throw away 4. Or occasionally somebody's crazy, you'll throw away 5. But again, that's an indication. If somebody's throwing away, no cards, well, maybe they got dealt a pat hand.
Right.
Or if they're throwing 1 card, maybe
they're going for the draw part and not really caring about the Omaha. Interesting. Okay.
But it's interesting because suddenly you might be able to, you might be changing gears right there because you're, you know, you think, well, okay, this card would work well in Omaha High, these two cards or whatever, and you've got the flop in front of you, but all of a sudden if you throw away three cards and get three cards back, then it's like, wow, suddenly my so-so Omaha hand turns into a great Omaha hand. Right. Look at these cards I just drew. So,
right.
So you take the draw, then you do a turn, mm-hmm. and then there's a round of betting, mm-hmm. and then there's a river. And a round of betting.
But that's
so,
four rounds, I guess, altogether?
Yeah, four rounds of betting, mm-hmm. the same as there is in a regular Omaha game, or any flop game. And then at the end, the best five card draw hand, wins half the pot, and the best Omaha high hand wins half the pot.
Wow.
But again, I've found that there's a lot higher incidence where there's only one person left at the river. In other words, if you've got a really good hand one way or the other and you're betting it heavy, mm-hmm. somebody else has got to be pretty sure they've got, you know, a great hand. If they've got two mediocre hands, they might not want to stick around, even though the one mediocre hand might have won half the pot. So
right. On the other hand,
there's some good dynamics there.
Right. On the other hand, you'd think that pretty much everybody would stay in until after the flop so they could potentially draw, right?
Right.
It's
right.
a very interesting game. Wow.
Yeah, no, a lot of times that is, yeah, very few people, a lot of people will limp in, mm-hmm. You know, just because they want to see what might come about, and that's where if you've dealt a really good five card hand, you're raising it, and kind of getting those limpers out, or at least making them pay, mm-hmm. and then, like you say, once the flop, then you've got a real good perspective. Once you draw your cards, then you've got an excellent perspective of what's left to come, so.
Right.
It's a good game. There's actually a site that I found that has kind of a blog on it that explains the rules in more detail, although that's basically it, what I came up with. But uh-huh. it also gives you some pointers, you know, this is something you look for, this is something you should be doing, this is something if you do, you're probably not going to be successful. So
right.
I'll make sure I put that link to that site in there too. So it's Dramaha, new mixed game. Again, no wild cards or no progressive pots, so it qualifies under our bare minimum as far as mixed games, but it's one that's actually being played in a couple of casinos in Vegas. There's this group called Barge. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're mm-hmm. they're just some fun guys that have these seminars, or I guess get-togethers twice a year, where they play some mixed games.
Uh-huh.
This is one of their popular ones right now.
Well, it sounds like, again, I never played it before, and I think I'll be introducing it in a future home game by my dad's group. But it sounds like a good strategy would be just sort of like, you know, once you get your five cards, already set in your mind whether you're going to be going for the, you know, the high draw hand, or, you know, you're going to go ahead and take that leap and go for the Omaha hand. Like, you know, just focus on one half of the pot or the other, and then, you know, and play it that way. And, you know, if things work out for you back door to scoop, that might work.
Well, again, we'll be interested to hear how your experiences again or has been, and mm-hmm. also very interested to hear our listeners if they look at it and decide to put that in the mix. Let us know what you think or what your experiences is. Again, feedback@toppair.net. Love to hear from you.
We're on social media, Facebook, we're the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, or we're on Twitter @toppair.
Well, judging by the laughter coming from our lobby, today's guest, comedian Avi Lieberman, must be in the house. After these messages from our sponsors, we'll bring him in and see what's so funny.
It's hard to have a home poker game without playing cards, and there is a difference. Top Pair is proud to feature and recommend J-Design cards. Made of durable plastic, the right thickness for easy shuffling and dealing, plus a unique look with a pip placement, artistic backs, striking face cards, and a huge variety of colors. Give your home game players something to talk about by playing with the distinctive J-Design cards. Check the Top Pair homepage, toppair.net, for a link, or go to classicplayingcards.com and order yours today.
Seat open, table one. Hey, wait a sec. I know this guy. He sat on my left yesterday. Ugh, I wish I remember how he played.
You should have taken notes.
Oh, come on. I'm not bringing a notebook to the table. I'll look like a fish.
You don't have to. There's an app for that. Poker Notes Live. Notice a tell? Want to keep track of your live poker sessions? Use the Poker Notes Live app to tag and classify your opponents. Record your wins and losses and improve your overall performance at the poker table. Poker Notes Live. Get it now on Google Play and the App Store. Don't ante up without it. Brought to you by CardPlayerLifestyle.com.
Hey, look who we found hanging around. Let's get a mic for him and see what he has to say.
Today's guest here on the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast is the celebrated stand-up comedian Avi Lieberman. Avi has performed on CBS's Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, as well as on Comedy Central's Premium Blend and Make Me Laugh. His acting credits include spots on Dave's World, Boston Common, and Andytown USA, and he can be seen regularly on the E! Network as one of their frequent guests on their very popular Countdown series. Avi has also been heard on radio stations across the country and seen in commercials for brands like Mercedes, LA Cellular, Miller Lite, and Starbucks. I'm personally familiar with Avi's great work, having attended a number of his charity shows that he's arranged here in Israel to benefit the Kobe Mandel Foundation. But, above all, Avi also likes to play poker. Here's a short clip from one of his routines.
And the one bad habit I have, gambling, right? Gotta be careful with my money. I try to be good, right? Last time I was in Vegas, I played the nickel slots, right? I played nickel slots for 10 minutes. I lost $38,000. Ridiculous. And my favorite game to play, probably poker, right? And I like playing poker in casinos because there are specific rules you gotta follow, right? You ever play with your buddies at home? There's always that one guy who wants to teach everybody some crazy new game he learned, you know? Well, these rules, it's like, all right, here's the game. This is called When Johnny Goes to Bangladesh, He Always Rides a Pony. All right. All even cards are wild, man, all of them, except the fours, which are actually fives. Now, you're going to get three cards. Turn two face up, one face down. Stand up. Switch seats with the person to your right. Get three more cards, flip one face up, and pass that back to your left, unless your neighbor has a king. That blocks the pass. Stand up again. Rotate back to your left. Get three more cards, flip one face up. All right, now. Here's the weird part. Hey, guys, thank you so much.
Avi, it's a real treat to have you on. Welcome to the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
We hope our home games aren't quite that convoluted, although sometimes you do get situations where people want to play some crazy stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately, that comes from real-life experience. So usually me ending up on the wrong side of it. So that's
right.
No, It's funny. It's hilarious.
Oh, thanks.
So about that real life experience, how did you get into poker in the first place?
You know what? I think most comics, if I were to bet, I would say that more comedians play poker than, you know, other jobs. I think it's just because of where we work. You know, you have a lot of guys working in Vegas and Atlantic City and, you know, various casinos all over the place that have comedy nights. So I think just by nature of us being around that environment, we're going to end up doing it. But, yeah, I think it's just a lot of comics like to sit around and talk and schmooze, which is, you know, a lot of what poker is, you know, when you're playing with your buddies and your friends. Half the time you're just trading money back and forth. So it's not really, oh, I'm here to, you know, take this guy's cash like a serious game, you know, when you're playing in a casino or something with a bunch of strangers and you want to really end up ahead. It's just schmoozing, and that's what a lot of comics like to sit and do. We like to sit and talk shop. So I think it probably comes from a culture of just being around it as well as being able to sit and talk and yap.
Mm-hmm. How about growing up? Did you play poker as a teenager, or did your folks play poker? Did you go to any?
Yeah, well, my stepmother's parents lived in Vegas for years. And funny story, actually, my stepmother's dad, he years and years ago, the story goes that he was approached by some buddies and they were investing in this small thing. You want to get? Nah, it sounds like a waste of money. What was it? Caesar's Palace. So, so there you go. You know, in terms of disappointments in gambling, you know, started generations ago.
That was the first bad beat.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, definitely. So it's you can imagine they're complaining there. Yeah, but no, I mean, I think you know, I grew up playing poker with friends, just sort of like learning the rules. But I mean, when I was growing up, hold'em wasn't nearly as big a deal as it is today. You know, it was more like 1 to 5, you know, 7-card stud. That kind of game was around more often. That's what I started playing when I was finally, you know, 21 and went to Vegas. But I mean, I remember even for my 21st birthday, that my dad's gift to me was basically a trip to Vegas. But it was one of these scenarios where, look, it's okay to gamble, but don't be an idiot about it. Obviously, don't gamble more than you can afford. And if you're going to go play blackjack or do something like that, I remember, like, you know, sitting at home and my dad, you know, us going over hands and going, what do you do here? What do you do here? Do you hit or do you stick here? You know, so there was like that kind of, you know, trying to be careful. And we began to play poker. You know, I would say when I was 21, as soon as I went to the casinos, you know, you wanted to sit and play live. But I didn't start playing Hold'em. Actually, a fellow comedian, Kyle Dunnigan, a very funny guy, was the first guy who ever sort of showed me, you know, come and sit and play Hold'em, you know, with me. He was the first guy I ever played with when I was, you know, in Vegas, you know, over at the Mirage. He's actually a very good player. So he actually won, I think, the Harris tournament, like, early in the morning. They have, like, a tournament every day, and he actually won it. But, yeah, I would say I started playing Hold'em, you know, much later, as most people do. But I started, like everybody else, I would say, you know, playing 1-to-5 stud and all that. But started before I started doing stand-up, because I think it just sort of ran in the family. My dad, you know, enjoyed going to Vegas and, you know, visiting my stepmom's parents and that kind of stuff. So I think that's sort of where it started.
Any home games in that background of getting started, or was your first exposure in an actual card room?
I mean, I would say the first exposure, I remember playing as a little kid when we were like, you know, it's summer camp, you're 9, 10 years old, you're playing but it was basically just trying to, you know, learn the rules. And we would get like 5-card draw when you're like, you know, 9, 10 years old in summer camp and stuff, but it was just sort of silly. And then actually, you know, when we used to play a lot of poker, actually, when I spent the year in Israel on Young Judea's year course, we began to play there a lot, to the point where the counselors like outlawed it. You guys are wasting all your time sitting here playing poker. And, you know, so that's probably when I was 17 was when I began to probably play a little bit more than I should. And then we'd play like illegally in our rooms, you know, like it was just sort of stupid. And then they sort of realized, okay, this is dumb. Just let them play. And that was kind of it. If we were like stuck and didn't have anything to do, we'd sit around and, you know, get a poker game rolling.
And these days you live in Los Angeles. Do you have like a regular group of guys you play with once in a while, or it's mostly like,
I travel a lot, but there used to be sort of a regular game. We used to play too much, I would say, you know, to the point where we were playing and not going out to the clubs and trying to hustle and get on stage, which is what we should be doing. But then, yeah, there's a game that I play with, a friend of mine, Josh Edding. He's, he's a producer and a, you know, very, knows a lot of comedians and stuff, so he hosts the game every now and then. That will sometimes rotate between other people's places. Very funny, talented comedian. Stanley Ullman, we used to play at his place. Jack Thomas, talented comedian and writer. You know, there's like a lot of guys who sort of, you know, play in that game. But I would say Josh hosts the game more often on a weekly basis. I mean, if I'm in town, I'll try to make it. And that's one of those, like, crazy, you know, we buy in for far too little, and that can end up being upsetting and disappointing at the end of the night, or very pleasing. You know, it's just one of those, you win the last two or three pots and you end up in good shape. Mm-hmm. You know, crazy games and follow the queen and, you know, baseball, that kind of nutty stuff. We have a game called, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say it on the air. just say it's an inappropriate title.
You know, no, this is the internet, no holes barred.
Oh, okay. Well, we call it ass rape, because you can only imagine that feeling that is usually felt in terms of disappointment, I would say, when it doesn't work out. It's basically we it's like a tic-tac-toe board of cards, and mm-hmm. it's hold 'em, and you can combine any row, and it's a high-low split. So go up, down, across. So 9 times out of 10, it matters what that – and. We flop clockwise. You know, we turn over the cards clockwise, and the very mm-hmm. last card we turn is the middle. So right. The middle, obviously being a tic-tac-toe board, is extremely important. Mm-hmm. And so you'll stick around and see, maybe I can hook the low with this last card, you know. Maybe this will be my nut hot. You know, all it takes is that middle card to turn. It pairs the board, and, you know, someone's extremely disappointed or extremely happy. you know, so that's where that name comes from.
Wow. I guess that's where your routine developed, I guess, from this from those
crazy
games.
And numerous other games. We've had combinations of that. We'll look for I think Jack's, one of his favorite games is called Woolworths, where you go shopping for cards. Like, you turn over 3 cards, and the first card is 50 cents, the next one is a buck, and the other one is $2, and you buy your hand until you have 7 cards. And it's high-low split. And you can sort of see where everyone else is going, or do you change in the middle? It's just, it's absolutely horrendous. And we all get sucked into it. It's just, it's awful. Now, we have a game called Forto, you know, where it's, you're just in or out. And whoever has, you have to get to 4 pips, we basically call it, 4 cards in front of you. And whoever's the first one to 4, you call in or out. And if you have the highest card, you win. And it's just... You know, we have Guts Schmuck and Guts Draw, all these just insane variations of every type of hold'em game that you can possibly fathom.
Is it mainly dealer's choice? So whoever
is
the
dealer. Yeah, it's dealer's choice. And then we have points. That's sort of, a dealer has a mini advantage in that one because he goes last. Yeah. And basically all that is you You have, it's a high-low split. Face cards are worth 10 or a half a point, and the every other card is worth its value. And you just deal until the cards are gone, until everybody has the same amount, and then you just drop a card. If you have a two, if you have another two in your hand, the other guy has to drop it. And that's that. Whoever has the most points and the least points splits it at the end.
Oh, wow.
And, I guess when you play in the poker rooms in Vegas and stuff, you're pretty bored. You can just play and hold them.
It's almost a treat at the same time because I know that, like, you know, just like that bit, rules are the same for everybody. And so at least I know the guy's not like, you know, well, my four is wild. Oh, yeah, I forgot. You know, there's no background going on. And, but at the same time, you know, yeah, it's just in a way, it's good and bad. Good in the sense that, you know, it's obviously more of a disciplined game and you have to, it's more real of what you're going to face in the outside world, quote unquote. But, you know, it's less nutty.
Well, when you're in a card room or a casino, do you gravitate just to hold them or do you do some Omaha or do you do some draw or do you do some stud, kind of harking back to your earlier roots or
which game of choice? I will very infrequently, Atlantis, I made the mistake in Tahoe this past week. I will go to limit games. I'll go like play 3-6 limit if I'm bored or if there's nothing going on. And then I blink and I realize, oh, I've lost far more money playing this stupid game than I have playing no limit. You know, so because like I tell people, I go like 3-6 is like you know, like it's basically roulette. I mean, everybody's chasing everything. You're not going to scare anybody out for a $3 bet, and then oh well, I'll make it six. Oh, now I'm really afraid. Another $3. You know, you have rich people sitting down, you know, who just don't care. I mean, so I'll do that to pass the time, and you think it's cheaper, but I usually find it's not because in 1-2 it's more honest. Like you're not going to chase your flush if somebody's betting $80. You know, so it's. You know, you'll fold. And in the end, if it's 1-2 or, you know, 1-3, 2-3, yeah, I'll usually gravitate more towards hold'em and hold'em only. But I'll vary it infrequently sometimes if I'll go and play, like, you know, a low limit game. But I'll usually play, like, 1-2 no. I think a 1-2 no limit game or any kind of no limit game, you'll actually lose less, I would say, in the long run. Yeah, you are going to get screwed every now and then, obviously. You know, you stick with your pocket aces and some jackass stays with like a 7-8 offsuit and, you know, catches a straight, you know, if they, you know, but that's going to happen. But I used to get angry if I'd lose. Now I get more angry if I play like a bonehead.
Yeah. that's a good sign.
Or I try. So. I still get angry. Make no mistake. I'll call somebody a freaking moron and then leave the table in a big huff, like a 10-year-old, you know, infrequently. I try not to, but, you know, I try to avoid that, you know, juvenile behavior.
Right.
Yeah. Well, one of the big leaks in those limit games too, especially in a casino or card room, is the rake. You know, I mean, you're playing 3-6, and so suddenly, you know, you've got a pot that you can drag, or even if you split it with an Omaha high low, you know, you've got $25 or $30. But then you tip the dealer a buck. The card room rakes $4. Sometimes they'll rake $5, take another buck for a promotion.
Right, And I mean, generally, like in those low limit games, what I'm basically hoping for, you know, is just for fun and to basically, let's see if we can, you know, hook a, you know, like a bad B jackpot. You know, I think what a lot of the players are trying to do there.
You know, that's true.
A lot of the regular good and bad because they don't care if they're losing their money.
You know? Yeah, they're just killing the time like a slot machine.
That, which is what I was doing. I had an hour to kill before I had to take, you know, the shuttle back to the airport. And I'm like, well, checked out of the room already. Well, I'll play some 3-6. You know, you blink and $20 is gone, you know, in an hour. You know, which in a way, with the cards I had, I thought was, you know, was pretty much a victory. like, oh, a pair, that's what that looks like. I just said, I didn't experience that the entire time.
Being in LA, it's obviously a big hotbed of poker activity. It's like there's the Commerce and the Bike. You know, what's your favorite local room there? And then what's your favorite room, you know, when you're on tour, you know, going around the world?
I would probably say Commerce is probably, and, you know, just because of the vastness of it. I mean, you walk in, it's just, I think if people haven't seen a room like that, it can be so overwhelming. And there's obviously, you're not going to be waiting long to, you know, to get on a table or to play a game. I haven't been there in a while, but, you know, I would say I played at Commerce more than I did at, like, the Bicycle Club or, you know, at Hustler Casino or any place like that. So Commerce to me is where I just have the most experience playing, you know, and I enjoy it. And, you know, they had Boba Tea there too, which I really enjoyed. So that was always a nice little bonus. and I would say, on the road, I really enjoyed playing in Tahoe in general, just because I think it's such a nice place to be. I work at the Improv at Harvey's up there, and I always enjoy working at the Improvs. In Vegas, I play the most, I would say probably at the Mirage. It's, you know, I know the card, it's right across the street. I've played there the most over the years. Man, I know some of the people who are there, you know, some of the dealers are very friendly. You know, everybody there is really nice. And, I mean, it's just, I'd say I enjoy playing the Bellagio also because it's just like a beautiful place to play. But yeah, I see most of the people that I know and friends and stuff over at the Mirage, like some of the dealers I know. And, I met, Layla McCarter there. She's like a 5-time world champion boxer. She's mm-hmm. like sweetest people in the world. And then, you know, she gets in the ring and, you know, completely demolishes people. So, and, she plays there. And, you know, you'll see some famous people in and out of there every now and then. It's fun to go to the Bellagio because they have that little private room and you'll see some of the guys you see on TV or playing in there sometimes. And, but I would say I play at those two places the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the proliferation of casinos and card rooms, you know, with the Indian casinos and that around the country, it used to be back in the olden days, probably, you know, Southern California, Vegas or Tahoe or Atlantic City were all your choices. But now, It's interesting. Probably you've got a good perspective being on the road and traveling to, you know, Middle America and all the different cities. You're probably never very far from a, you know, a card room or a casino if you're
rarely.
Really.
I mean, there was a gig, I think, in Northern California. I think it was Fresno. And, you know, you're in the middle of nowhere in this. And my buddy just goes, next door is a poker room. I went, okay, yeah, I guess I can. and I don't understand how they get away. It's interesting because I think in Louisiana, my dad tells me, my sister too is saying, they have the riverboats. So while gambling is not technically legal, like in the Indian casino or on the boats, they can do it. And the boats right. leave the dock hardly ever. They can do it to inclement weather. So if there's a cloud in the sky, they'll go, hey, inclement weather, guess we're sticking around. You know, they just hardly ever they leave. Like, when I play in New Orleans, there's a Harrah's there. I don't know how they get away with that.
Right.
Apparently they do. It's a rarity if you're really looking. Like, gee, I want to find a game. It's between buddies around the country that play local games and casinos all over the place, you're not going to have too much trouble.
Right. And it, like you say, it's interesting, the little nuances of it. I know I was, 4 or 5 years ago, was down in the Santa Fe area, and there was an Indian casino down there. They had a pretty good poker room, but one of the restrictions was they didn't serve alcohol of any type.
Right.
But right adjacent to that poker room, down about a 100-foot hall, was a bar, and that's all they did was serve poker. So it was comical to see these people that would get in a hand, and then they'd fold, and they'd get their running shoes on. Man, they just book it out of there and book down that hall, grab a shot or grab a beer, just chug it, and then book back.
Tell me where those guys are. Those are the players that I want to play against.
yeah, exactly.
I don't want to play against people who are sober. That's not going to do me any good. You know, I have enough trouble as it is. Get me the guys who are drunk. So,
yeah, no, it's interesting.
With all of your play over the years, you know, in all these different places, you must have a funny story or two to share that's happened to you or someone, you know, near you at the table. Can you regale us with one or two?
Oh yeah, and I mean, actually, just recently went with a comedian's Vinny Favorito, who I brought to Israel this past tour. We were playing together over the Mirage, and I had, and he just gets up to go to the bathroom or something, and I got totally hosed on some. I think I flopped a set, and we were talking this, I got up and he got up and went to the bathroom. And between that time, I flop a set and some guy sticks around, I bet, and he hooks a runner flush when he was chasing something else. And there were like four clubs on, and I wanted to throw up. And I just sort of got up and left. And then he calls me, "Where'd you go?" And I went, "This jackass comes up." And he just starts laughing, you know, and of course my agony and pain, which made me laugh. I mean, I did it because I knew it would make him laugh. And he's going, "Hold on, I got to put the phone down." He said he was laughing so hard he had to, like, you know, catch his breath. Of course, my demise usually seems to be at other people's amusement. I mean, there was one time, and you know, you usually remember the hand you lose. You know, I remember one time,
of course.
You know, where I won. And I had flopped, you know, I was playing at the Mirage, you know, and if you get four of a kind, and, you know, you get like a $100 bonus or something. And then, mm-hmm. and I had four nines, and this guy's betting into me. And I remember the final card, and I'm looking, and I'm thinking, you know, that's when I wanted to lose. And I remember just looking at him going, "I rarely say this, but I really hope that you can beat me, even though I know you can't." I just turned it over. And I think he might have had a full house, too. I think, you know, he was not too pleased. Some moves like that. There was one time, I think, my dad told me once, he's playing on Christmas Day, and no one at the table is Asian. So he's thinking, you know, everybody here, it's all like white guys and women. And he's like, they've got to be Jews. You know, there's no way. And so he starts talking to some guy. He's like, oh, yes. And my son also went to college in this. And then these two people start talking, and this guy's from Israel. And it is. It was the entire table was Jews. And then these two older people start speaking Yiddish, and the dealer has to stop and goes, you guys got to speak English here. I don't know what the hell's going on. And they all just started laughing. So you have amusing scenarios like that that occur every now and then. Yeah, at one time, actually, I even remember I was playing, it was like Wednesday morning, and this is back when I was playing 1-5 stud, 7-card stud, which is kind of, you know, it's right. A friendly man's game in town. A lot of people play, you know, people who play that are like retired. It's even harder to find games like that every now and then. Sometimes you don't even find a table where they'll play that. I think Mirage infrequently will have one like during the day. And it's Wednesday in the afternoon. It's me and a group of senior citizens, basically. That's the entire table, right? And just for fun, I knew what the answer was going to be before I even asked it. I just wanted to see the table's reaction. I go, is Vegas better now or back in the day? And that's about as far as I got in the sentence. And they all go, oh, please. And they all just like, what? All of them were like, it was so much better when the mob ran it. And they just start regaling. I just wanted to hear all the stories. You know, guys said he'd come in and all they had to do was know who you were. They had to know your name. That was it. And he's like, I'd come in, there'd be like a bottle of liquor for me in the room and flowers for my girlfriend and what. You know, and then they even said, like, if they'd see you losing, if they saw somebody who was having a bad night, damn it, they're complaining, they'd run over, you know, and grab you by the arm and go, you know what, why don't you take a break? Go get a steak. Tell them Vino said it's okay. You know, whatever. And that's, you know, that kind of stuff. Because they didn't want people seeing other people having a bad time. So, you know, they just said it was a way better, you know, it was more like from the movies, hey, you know, Frexit. But, you know, it's just kind of funny. So that's kind of fun for me when I talk to, like, the old guard and hear how it used to be and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, that's a perfect setup to prime the pump. I've been at a few of those tables, too, and that's all you have to do is just prime the pump a little bit, and they'll regale you with stories for hours.
Oh, yeah, no, there's tons. Guys talking about, you know, I was there and I bumped into Frank and this, and Sinatra was in the elevator. You know, then Sammy Davis was around the corner. You know, it's fun to hear about that era, you know, of Vegas. I mean, it's a totally different deal now.
Well, that's, you know, some really, really hilarious stuff. And now I guess is the fun part of the show. Why don't you tell our listeners where they can see you and hear more great, funny stuff from Avi Lieberman?
Oh, sure. Actually, upcoming, I actually have, I will be going to New York this Thursday. I'm actually performing, this is kind of a, should be an interesting one, this Sunday, February 15th at the Times of Israel Gala honoring Shimon Peres. Mm. So that's Sunday 15th at the Waldorf Astoria. Mm-hmm. That should be interesting. Actually, I take it back. Actually, right before that, this weekend I'll be at Fantasy Springs, another casino. That should be a good time.
In Palm Springs,
at the Improv there, so that's always fun. I'm working with the Stage Benders. They're the two guys who do Improv. They're great. So that should be a good time. I'll be in Fantasy Springs, the 6th and the 7th. Then I go to New York, and that'll be on the 15th at the Waldorf Astoria honoring Shimon Peres. So that should be you know, a fun one. A lot of, you know, Alan Dershowitz will be there, and Omri Caspi, Baruch Ali. So that should be, that's hosted by Noah Tishby. So that should be a fun one, amongst a lot of other people. Cool. And then I'm actually in Vegas at the Improv at Harrah's February 24th, performing there February 24th through March 1st.
Nice. And you also, you have a website also, right?
Yes. Yeah, you can see me at avilieberman.com, AviLiberman, spelled like Lieberman. I know it's a weird spelling, but yeah, so avilieberman.com, that's my website that I try, if I can remember, to update where I'm going to be and all that kind of stuff on that as much as I can, and that has upcoming stuff. And then the next tour in Israel is May 25th through June 2nd. So
I'll be there. I'm looking forward to it.
I've already got the comedians lined up. I got Brian Kiley, who was just on Letterman, I think, 3-4 days ago. So he's been on a writer on the Conan O'Brien show for about 20 years. So he's coming. Modi is coming. Modi's a great comic out of New York, like a fan favorite, crowd favorite for years. He went years ago to Israel, actually in the very first Comedy for Kobe tour. And then I just secured Joe Matarese, who was actually just on Letterman not too long ago either. Nice. So he's coming as well. So that should be a fun group.
Well, we'll definitely put your a link on the show notes to this episode on our homepage to your website and even your Facebook page too. So people
okay, great.
Can click
yeah,
on it
you can put a in the, use the website for the tour is comedyforkobe.com. That should it's not updated yet, but that'll give everybody an idea of what it is. You know, so
cool.
Okay, great. Well, we sure appreciate you taking the time, you know, to fill us in on some of your stories and your background and history and that. It sounds like you've got kind of a great job. You know, you get to go out and make people laugh, and then you get the opportunity to fleece them from their,
yeah,
you know, their
try,
money after
yeah.
work.
I wish that was actually the case. Yeah, I'm going to go do a show and then go win money. I wish I was that confident about it. It's usually the other way around. I come back going, this idiot stayed with a 7-5 offsuit. And that's usually the stories that you hear me coming back and complaining about. So,
yeah, we'd love to
thanks
have
for
you
having
back
me. Really
in another, you know, few months in that, maybe challenge it as with that in the back of your mind to kind of make notes of some of the fun
oh, yeah,
stories.
Absolutely.
Or some
unfortunately,
of the
there'll be plenty of bad beat stories for me coming. most likely. Most likely after tomorrow night when the home game is. So I'm sure I'll have plenty after that.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, Avi Lieberman, again, we appreciate you spending the time with us, and that
yeah,
was just great.
Thanks so much for having me. Enjoyed it.
Nothing's better than a home poker game as part of a birthday celebration. Of course, some folks have a strange way of showing their gratitude.
One outer.
Hey, Bruce. So a couple of weeks ago, we were playing at you know, my dad's regular home game, and this one was special. One of the guys in the game, Kenny, it was his 60th birthday and a very special celebration. So, you know, he brought food and he brought whiskey and stuff. It was really nice. So, you know, it's five of us sitting around there, me, my dad, Kenny, and a couple others, you know, sort of, you know, just enjoying ourselves. And Kenny says, let's make a toast, right? So he pours everybody some whiskey. We're all sitting there waiting for him to make his toast. So he says, you know, and he's got all of our table, we're all like, you know, quiet listening to him. He says, I'm, you know, I'm a really lucky guy. You know, this is so much fun to be here. And, you know, I got such great friends and I really wish they could be here with me today. We couldn't stop laughing.
I guess I'll have to put up with you schmucks instead.
All the cards have been dealt for this episode of Top Pair. We hope you found it informative, thought-provoking, and entertaining. Robbie and Bruce will be happy to have you join them for our next show. Just a reminder, we love your input. Contact us via email at feedback@toppair.net. Give us a follow on Twitter at Top Pair and like our Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast Facebook page. After all, we're not always right, just 99% of the time. For a more in-depth look at the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, including access to past episodes, topics to be covered in the future, and links to information mentioned in the show, log on to our website at toppair.net.